Take our Bibles tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to start a new series next Sunday night. All right, so it's kind of an in-between message. It's what the Lord has for us tonight. So that'll be next Sunday night. Matthew chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 1 down through verse 16. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. When the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word, and we pray that you'd help us now as we study it. We pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I look at this parable as kind of a corrective parable. You know how when you get more mature and a little more wisdom and you start to be able to see where things are headed sometimes, like with people or whatever, and it's like you've been down this road before and you go, I know where this situation is headed. So you go, okay, instead of letting it take its course, I'm going to try and say something, do something to head this off, because I know it's going to be disastrous. It's not going to go well. So if I just do something now, it'll help kind of turn this whole thing around. And I think that's what Jesus Christ is doing in chapter 20. Because if you go back to chapter 19, kind of where this all is coming from, there's a man who comes running to Jesus Christ, and so after Jesus Christ deals with him, he tells him, listen, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. So this man who had great possessions, Jesus said, sell everything, sell all your stuff, give it all away to the poor, and then you'll have great treasure in heaven. And the man wasn't too happy about that. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus Christ then goes on to instruct his disciples about this. And then they have this this question, right? In verse 27 of chapter 19, Peter answered and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? They saw this man who didn't do it, and they went, We've done that, right? We've given up all that we've had to follow Jesus Christ. And so what are you going to give us? what's our treasure in heaven for all that we've given up for you? And so Jesus Christ tells them in verse 28, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So in verse 28 and 29, Jesus tells them about eternal rewards that they will receive for what they've given up and what they've done for the Lord. But he ends in verse 30 with this bit of a warning that he gives them. Because after he talks about what they will receive, he says, But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's a bit cryptic, right? This warning that he gives them. The many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And we understand that, that then plays into the next parable because he ends it the same way, chapter 20 and verse 16. But I think that expression, it's parallel to what Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, where he said, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And Jesus gives them this warning about the end of chapter 19 and then in the beginning of chapter 20, he gives them this warning about having this attitude that God owes them something, that because of what they've done for God, they deserve, and that God had better pay up in the end because of all that they've done for him, and having this sort of opinion about themselves that they've earned something from God for all that they've served the Lord. And we understand how our pride tends to just continue to rise up in us, even as we serve the Lord, even as we're trying to do what's right for the Lord, yet we're always battling that. How many of you have dandelions in your yard? Probably everybody does. You don't have to raise your hand, but yeah, so I have dandelions in my yard, right? And man, like they're fine now, but you know, last month they've been really annoying because you mow your grass and you look out and you go, oh, it looks nice, right? It's all the same level. If you know, it looks somewhat better, you know, as a yard. And then so you mow the grass, and then the next day you wake up and the dandelions are like 2 inches higher already than the rest of the grass. And your nicely mowed and even grass now has these little things sticking up everywhere, and it looks like you haven't mowed it. It looks like it's not been mowed because of all those dandelions. And it's like you want to go out there and mow it again just for those dandelions because they're constantly popping up. And I think pride is like that. Pride is like the dandelion of the Christian life. No matter how many times you chop it down, it finds a way to grow back up again. And you've got to just knock it down again. Scripture is very good at chopping down our pride, isn't it? About really humbling us and getting us exactly where we need to be, getting us to think exactly about ourselves how we should. And Scripture is very good at chopping down the pride that seems to constantly grow so quickly in our life. And in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is going to deal with their pride really in this specific area. I mean, we've got dandelions that grow in all parts of the yard of our Christian life, but he's really focused on one specific area, and that is pride in the perception of what I deserve from God. That as a Christian and as someone who has given their life to serve God and has been living for the Lord, the pride that grows and says, okay, now I deserve something. Now I deserve the blessing of God upon my life, or I deserve that God would reward me in whatever way I choose. So we're going to look at just two principles tonight from Matthew chapter 20 that really do a good job of cutting down our pride and getting us to think correctly about rewards. So the first principle is this, from Matthew chapter 20, trust the God that you have chosen to serve. Trust the God that you have chosen to serve. So the parable starts with this man who's a householder, and he needs laborers in his vineyard, and so he goes out to hire them, and he hires some first ones right early in the morning in verse 2, and he says, I'm going to give you a penny a day. And that was like a day's wages. So that was a fair wage. He said, I'm going to pay you fairly for the work that you're going to do, and he sends them out. Then in verse 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, periodically throughout the day, as he sees that more work needs to be done, he goes and hires more. He finds some that are standing idle and says, okay, I'll hire you. Come to this vineyard. But what's interesting is the contract changes. In the first one, he says, I'm going to give you a penny for this day's work. The next ones, though, he tells them in verse 4, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. He says, I'll give you what's right. I will pay you fairly. And that's all he gives, which is kind of interesting because would you accept that in a job negotiation, right? Or an interview? Like you go in for a job to interview for this job and you talk all the details, you know, and the requirements and, you know, what you've done in the past and all of this, what you bring to the job. And then the guy goes, okay, let's talk salary. Let's talk what we're going to pay you. And he goes, how about we just say this? I'll pay you fairly. You go, no, I want some numbers, okay? I want a little specifics here, like how much? How much am I getting paid? He goes, don't worry about it. We treat everybody fairly here. We will pay you exactly what you earn. We'll pay you right. Don't you worry about that. I think you're going to go, no, I am going to worry about that. I am very worried about this. You know what? I want to know what you're going to pay me. And if you were to accept that, if you were to go, okay, I'll take this position, you're putting a lot of trust in that employer, that you're trusting that they are going to do what they said and that their idea of right is also going to be your idea of right. But there's a lot of faith that goes into that. But that's essentially the agreement that we've entered into with God as we have chosen to serve Him, that we have said we will trust you. We'll trust you to reward us fairly and reward us for what we've done. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. That's the agreement. He shall reward every man according to his works. Now it's tempting to go, can we have some like exact numbers here? Like how much will we be rewarded according to our works? Is there like tiers? Is there like level 1 works and level 2 works and level 3 works, where I get paid more for the level 3 works and maybe less for the level 1 works? Does everybody get paid the same? Does everybody get rewarded the same for the works that they do? Right? And we could ask those questions. Here's another verse, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. If you pray, the Lord who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Okay, when? Like, is that a now thing or a later thing? Or is it kind of a both? Will you reward me now and later, or is it just something later? Like, what are the specifics about this? He doesn't give us those specifics. Instead, He says, you just trust me. You just serve for me and you work, and I will reward you. I will reward you for what you have done. And we enter into that trusting God, knowing really we don't deserve anything. At the end, we are unprofitable servants that have done what is our duty to do. But God has said, I will reward you for the things that you do for me. But we're not told exactly how much. We're not given a pay scale or like an incentive program or like a bonus structure. We're not given any of those things. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, we're told, behold, I come quickly, Jesus said, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And this type of arrangement requires us to trust the God that we have chosen to serve. Trust that when He says, whatsoever is right, I will give you, that He is a righteous God, that He is a righteous master, that He is not looking to deceive us or cheat us or treat us unjustly, but that He is righteous in all that He does, and all His works are right, and that includes how He will reward us. We're trusting God, and serving God requires trust. And so we have to ask ourselves tonight, as we serve God, as Christians, as we live our life for the Lord, following His path, following His plan for us, doing what He's told us to do, do we really trust Him to give us what is right? Are we really trusting God that whatever is right, He will give to us, both right now as we serve Him and when we get to glory? Are we really saying, Lord, I leave all of that in Your hands, and what I trust that whatever is right, You will give to me. And whatever I get from You, I will know that that is what is right for me. We have to have that trust. And in our pride, we can't claim to deserve more than we have received. We can't look around and say, I deserve more than this. You know, for all I've given to the Lord, for all I've done for Jesus Christ, and for how much I've served Him and given up for Him, I deserve more than what I have received. That's our pride popping up and trying to elevate us in our own mind, saying, I deserve more than what Jesus Christ has given to me. We have to trust that He is righteous. And I like Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. He is a righteous master. And the first principle is this: trust the master you have chosen to serve. Trust the God you have chosen to serve. He is righteous. And as He has said, He will give us what is right. But then the second principle is this. Number two, thank God for all his blessings. Thank God for all his blessings. All is the key word there. So in verse 8, it says, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And he does that in a specific order. He starts with the last and goes then to the first. When they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, right before quitting time. They received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny, the same as the other ones. When they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. So he pays them, right? And he starts with the last ones, where he had told them, I'll give you what is right, and he gives them the same thing that he had promised to the first ones. And the people who got there first and worked all day went, really? They got the same that we're getting? And they looked at that and they went, well, that can't be right. You know, if I were to, Sunday morning, after the Sunday morning service, if I were to go into junior church and look at all those little kids in there, and I'd say, have you been good? And of course, they'll all say, yeah, we've been good. So I go, okay, then I've got something for you. So I say, get in a line. So I line them all up, and I look at the first kid, and I said, you've been good today? And he says, yep. So I say, here's a Snickers bar for you, right? One of those king-size Snickers bar. And I give him that. You know, it's like he's so excited, right? Just so glad to receive that, so happy his day just got much better. Then I look at the second kid, and I say, have you been good? And they go, yep. And I say, okay, and I give him two. I give him two Snickers bars. He is thrilled, right? Two king-size Snickers bars. That's more than he should eat in a week, right? But he's holding on to those. Something will happen right then to the first kid, didn't it? He went, wait a minute. He got two? I only got one. All of a sudden, what he was so happy about when he first received it, all of a sudden he goes, just one? That's all? The other kid got two. If I were to go to the third kid, say, hey, have you been good? And they went, yep. And I say, here's three. All of a sudden, I've done it again. So the second kid's like, only two? The first one's like, one? The other kid's got three? All of a sudden, what they had no longer looks good to them because they see what the other people received. And that's what happens here in this story. And so there's several wrong choices that they're making here. These ones that came first and got exactly what the Lord had, what the master had told them. Several wrong choices they make. The first is this. They start to devalue what their master had given to them. All of a sudden, it doesn't look as valuable to them. A day's wages were no longer good enough for them. At the beginning, when they agreed to this, this was great. They got a day's wage for a day's work, and all of a sudden, they looked at what they had and said, it's not good enough anymore. I wonder if we're kind of doing that, where we look at what God has given to us and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it's not good enough for us anymore. Maybe we've started to look out at other people and the things that God has blessed them with and the things God has allowed them to have or to do. And we see that and then we look back at our life and go, nah, I'm not happy with this. I'm not satisfied with what God has allowed me to have because I've been looking at what other people have received. And according to God, though, we've gotten exactly what is right. He's given us what is right for us. And that needs to be the value that we put on it. That we say, this is what is right for me. This is the blessing of God for my life. And be thankful for the blessings that we have received. Be thankful for all the blessings that God has given to us. So they begin to devalue what they had received. Number two, the second wrong choice was that they start to try to restrict the master's generosity. They're trying to restrict the master's generosity. As they murmur and complain in verse 11 down through verse 15, they're really arguing against him paying other people more, right? That he shouldn't have been so generous to these other people. The master hadn't paid the original group less, had he? He paid them exactly what he said. The group that worked all day, he had said, I'll pay you a day's wage for that, and he had given them exactly what he had said. He hadn't been less generous to them. He had, in a sense, been more generous to the others. And they looked at that and said, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be gracious. You shouldn't be kind. You shouldn't be generous. But he paid them what was right according to the agreement, all of them. And you know, there's a lot we don't know about these other workers, the ones that came later in the day. But we could make up some things, right? And we could come up with some reasons why it wasn't right, why he shouldn't have paid them a full day's wage, right? We could come up with some reasons. I mean, that's not fair to everybody. And, you know, this is gonna affect their mentality, right? They're going to think they can work less and get paid more. And we could come up with a whole host of reasons why this shouldn't have been this way. But we could also come up with reasons why it was right. I mean, maybe they couldn't work all day, and maybe they needed more money or whatever. And we could come up with all sorts of these reasons, and it's really the same thing in our life. God knows everything, and God knows what's right for other people. God knows what's right for us. The blessings that God gives to other people, he knows it's what they need. It's what they need in their life. But we can come up with reasons why that's not fair, and why God shouldn't bless them, and why God shouldn't be gracious to them, and why he should be more gracious to us. And we can get very critical in our pride of how God has chosen to be gracious and how God has chosen to bless. And we can say, well, God shouldn't have done that. God shouldn't have given that to them. God shouldn't have, if anything, God should have given it to me, right? God shouldn't have blessed them. And we can, in our pride, it can start to grow up. And it can start to escalate in our life, and we start to get very critical of how God has been generous and start trying in our own minds to restrict the graciousness of God. But then number three, the third wrong choice they made was they started to become jealous of their fellow laborers. So verse 15, it says, is it not lawful for me, the good man of the house said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? And then he says this, is thine eye evil because I am good? An evil eye, right? Because of the goodness of God. And what he's saying is basically, you've started to change how you've looked at people and how you see everything because of the goodness and the goodness of that master. And we can do that. We can, like, the way we look at life, the way we look at even other Christians can change because of the goodness of God, because God has been good to them. And all of a sudden we start to get very jealous of other people and even fellow Christians. I remember in college, I think it was Thursdays, at the beginning of chapel, they would do testimony time. And so, like, students could get up and give a testimony and praise the Lord for what he'd been doing and for his blessings. And, you know, kids would get up and say all sorts of things. You know, like, they get up and say, one would say, yeah, you know, I barely had any time to study for this test. You know, I worked a lot or whatever. I didn't have much time to study a really hard test, and I prayed, and the Lord blessed me with a 98. You know what? I would think there's kids out there who had studied hard. You know, they'd studied hard and they'd prayed, and they were like, I got a 68, right? I studied hard and prayed, and I got a 68, and they worked and didn't study and prayed, and the Lord, why'd the Lord give them a 98, and why not me? And there were times where kids would get up and say, you know, the Lord provided a vehicle for me, and like, or money to repair my vehicle. And there were times in college where I was driving a car that I had spray painted myself. it was a gas guzzler. It liked to overheat. The muffler was held up by a hanger. Right? It was, I go, amen. Yeah, that's the car the Lord gave me. And I go, why isn't the Lord giving me a new car? Why isn't the Lord blessed me with the money to repair this car and, you know, really fix it up right or junk it and get a new one, you know, whatever. But why them and why not me? And how many times is that just the temptation that we face when we hear about God bless someone else? And it can be hard when we hear God bless someone else to go, why hasn't God blessed me? Why them and not me? And that can turn into jealousy, where our eye becomes evil because of the goodness of God, where God has chosen in his infinite wisdom to bless someone else. And we see that and go, yay for them. What about me? Right? Why hasn't God blessed me? And we start to get jealous, and that's, we know that that's not where we want to be. And is it possible for us to be thankful for all of God's blessings, not just the ones we've gotten, that we have received, but all of them, for God's blessing upon other people as well as us? And we'd say, yeah, that is possible. Is it hard to get there sometimes? Also, yes. It can be a hard place for us to get to, where we are thankful for the abundant blessing of God that we see poured out on someone else while we are still struggling, and while we go without, and while we don't have whatever it is, and yet we see someone else get blessed by God by that. It can be a hard place to get to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing that person and for your graciousness to them. And if we allow ourselves to become jealous, it's going to take away our joy. Someone has said wisely, comparison is the thief of joy, and it's true. And jealousy is going to rob us of the joy that we had, where we're holding on to a Snickers bar, and that's always good. But yet, because we're seeing the multiple Snickers bars in other people's lives, that all of a sudden the one we've had, we're just not happy for anymore. And we just can't enjoy what we have, all the blessings of God, and we're so quick to many times overlook them because we are seeing what has happened in someone else's life. And we need to be thankful for all of God's blessings, every single one of them, wherever they may fall, on whomever they may fall. But be able to say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness in their life. And thank you for your graciousness and your blessing in my life as well. And I think all of us often need correction in this. And we need to have our thinking to be readjusted and fixed in this. Whether we consider ourselves at times and in ways to be under-blessed, where we haven't been received as many blessings as we think we deserve from God, or whether we think other people have been overblessed and God's just done a little too much in their life, whatever it might be, trust the God that you have chosen to serve. And then thank God for all of his blessings. And in a minute, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And I was thinking about that and how the gospel reminds us of how really undeserving we are. And how if we got what we really deserved, it would be an eternity in hell for our sin. That's what we really deserve. And when we think about what Jesus Christ has done for us, how can we go from that and go, well, I deserve anything? Because we do not. It's a testimony to the grace and the mercy of God upon undeserving sinners. And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, Jesus said, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And the gospel takes our pride and it cuts it right down. It says, you have no right to be proud of anything. You have no right to say that you owe, that God owes you anything, or that you deserve anything. And yet God has been so gracious and so good to us. And he really has. He's blessed us in so many ways. Thank God for all of his blessings, those in other people's lives and those in yours as well. Ask God to give you that heart of thankfulness, where you can rejoice with those that rejoice. But trust God. Trust the God that you have chosen to serve. Trust that he does everything well, and he has done everything right, and he will give you exactly what is right. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word, and we thank you for your grace in our lives. Lord, the grace that we do not deserve. Help us to trust you, and help us to not allow our pride to trick us into thinking that we deserve anything or that you owe us anything. But help us to be thankful for all that you have given to us, for all your blessings. We thank you for our time now. In Jesus' name, amen.